The University Tower chimes bring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with the University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo. Let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my right, it's Professor Jason Roach.
And thank you for going to me first, because I can see that Beth has a donut.
I almost did it.
Let's toss it to Beth right when she takes a bite.
I actually think of Kathy every single time because she started, at least in my mind, the tradition of like introducing the panel in one direction for one show and then the other direction for the other show, just to keep people on their toes. And usually it's Heather complaining that I wait until she's on her phone
or of course, yeah,
putting a donut in her mouth. But I will give Beth a couple more minutes to...
I would have managed.
As we shake the powdered sugar off the microphone.
Oh, that fritter looks really, really good.
Go for it, Matt. I can't do it.
He's the host.
Are you giving up sweets for Lent or something?
I did give up sweets.
Throw some pepper on there.
I'm getting ready for my fish sandwich tonight. So that's what I'm thinking about.
Blarney Stone, are you?
Exactly.
I gave up news Perfect for place Lent. To,
you gave up news?
So I haven't checked. Good. I mean, how many times a day do I check the New York Times, the
Good
Wall Street Journal,
you.
The Detroit
you could
papers?
You do like Beth and myself. We gave up Catholicism for Lent.
I thought of you the other day, Beth, because I was at a Lenten service, and the priest was particularly frisky. And it was the very first day of Lent, Ash Wednesday, and he's like, "Welcome, everybody, to the start of Lent." Or as some people call it, the Catholic Church's weight loss system.
Oh.
I was like, that's perfect. Like, of course. We're not actually doing this for atonement. We're just going to try to give up some stuff.
Well,
as I say to myself, no more sweets, you know.
As we put the fritter right in front of you
exactly
with the box.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for that. Thanks for that.
They do give you bread at communion.
That is true.
But it's not a sweet bread.
Yes.
It's not a brioche.
That's exactly right. Those, of course, are the dulcet tones, unfortunately, for the last time for a while.
Mm-hmm. For a while.
Of Professor Alex Hitchell. We're so glad you're here with us, Alex. And again, we are excited to hear what happens to you next.
Thank you. I'm excited to
find
forecast
out
myself into the future to
That's
find
right
out what happens next.
You are hopefully still friends of the ATP Facebook page, which means you could post anything you wanted
to. Oh, dear Lord.
You'd know what's going on. Yeah, exactly. Going around the table, Professor Dave Chow.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Excellent. Pleasure to have you here. How could you be, like, thinking about all this drawing you're going to do and not thinking about getting some takeout, man?
I'm thinking about doing fish fry tonight.
Okay, see, there you go.
I'm thinking about it, whether I have time to or not.
Sure.
We'll see.
Professor Beth Oljar is here. How was the donut?
What donut?
It's gone. It's
the
gone
one
forever.
I was eating.
There's no evidence.
Well, that's because I ate it.
It was good. The students were telling me about a TikTok trend / prank that was just a few weeks ago. And what you do is someone goes and they open a box of donuts in a single shot and goes, "Who ate my powdered donuts?" And the camera in a single shot will pan and someone will just be coated head to toe in like powdered sugar or flour. You go, "I don't know. We got to find out who did it."
It's a mystery.
It's a mystery. Exactly. So that's what I was thinking of.
You should watch the movie Belfast for a really pretty hilarious description of Catholicism.
Excellent.
And communion.
I'll look forward to that. No, that's on the to-do list. That's Ewan McGregor, right?
No. It's Kenneth Branagh.
Kenneth Branagh.
You would think it's going to be a political, because it's set in the beginning of the Troubles in 1969, because his family is Protestant and was living in Belfast. But it's actually not. It's really more just a movie, sweet movie about sort of family
and peace.
But it's also kind of really funny.
All right, I'll have to check that out.
My friend Paul, who was a Jesuit priest, that I used to work with him at another school, he said, "Yes, I grew up in Belfast, and I was in severe danger of dying of boredom."
Wow.
It's not as bad as people think. That's what he was trying to imply.
Well, you know what? It's been a long time since someone sent us a bunch of questions about Ireland or Belfast proper or whatever it takes, Catholicism. If you stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. You can send us the questions in a number of ways, emailing us at atp@udmercy.edu. Find us on Facebook and Instagram, or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. Profs, I think you're going to like this. The question starts with the word g'day. Attached are some trivia questions about Australia and New Zealand from your favorite temporary Aussies and Kiwis, Jim and Diane.
Well, means I get to answer these with my Australian voice.
Absolutely. We suggest that a passing score would be 75%, but we leave that to the wise discretion of Matt. Jim and Diane still traveling the earth.
I don't want to hear it.
Unbelievable. Their pictures are pretty spectacular.
I told them if they need help shipping their luggage around, I'll gladly fly down there and help out. So.
Has he been posting pictures on Facebook?
He's been posting. Constantly. Yep. He and Diane both.
Yeah. Drew has not been telling me about this.
Slacking.
Geez. I know.
Oh, jeez. Got to catch up.
No, I just need to know, has Jim flushed the toilet and sent us a video yet?
I don't think that's happened yet. But it will.
He owes us that, remember?
He does.
Yeah. A dunny. You remember a dunglo.
That's right. At the American Embassy down there, they actually have a toilet with a pump that spins it the other way.
No!
That's what the Simpsons taught
That's
me.
Right.
I know.
Props. What percentage of Australia is classified desert?
95.
A lot.
It's a lot.
95.
Oh, I guess I'm not going to see by looking at that map. That's the United States. It's a lot, but a lot by, you know, like... Yeah, 90%? not 90% or anything, but it's a lot.
75.
It's only 35 is what it says here. Really? So it's not as much as you might think it is.
Well, when I look at those maps, it's always tan.
Way less than 35 in our country, so...
I mean, Queensland is a pretty big part of Australia, and they definitely have a damper climate.
That's true.
Yeah.
Based on how big the island, country, and continent of Australia are... How many time zones are covered by Australia?
I'm going with 4.
I'm going to go with 1.
Oh, no.
2.
Alex is 2, and Beth
is
3.
Go 3. Go 3.
3 is correct.
Oh, all right.
Pretty close. How many states or territories make up the Commonwealth?
Seven?
It says 8 here, but you gave me... I don't know. I think that I'm going to give it to you because maybe, it's close enough. You know?
Your pinky was...
If you had said,
I thought I knew them.
If you had said 48 for the U.S., I'm like, I feel like that's partially correct.
Close enough.
Not including the freak states, you know. I mean.
They have like a capital district, right?
Exactly.
No, it's the red light district.
Yeah.
Which species of Australian native bird is the second largest living bird in height after an ostrich?
An emu.
The emu.
It's going to go with the kookaburra.
Kookaburra. In 1977, a referendum to choose the national anthem, Advance Australia Fair, won with 3 million votes. Which iconic tune came in second?
Air Supplies. Oh, no.
All Out of Love.
Making love out of nothing at all, right?
God Save the Queen?
No, you have to just not think too hard about songs that remind you of Australia.
Waltzing Matilda.
Waltzing Matilda. Absolutely. That would have been a great national anthem. I mean, come on. Waltzing Matilda. What 1970s iconic hard rock band is from Australia?
AC/DC.
AC/DC. Absolutely. We know our stuff, Jim and Diane. What fence in Australia is longer than the Great Wall of China? Oh my gosh.
Rabbit barrier thing, isn't it?
That's not what they call it, but you're pretty close.
that rodent thing.
They call it the dingo fence.
Gotcha.
To keep the dingoes
dingo,
out.
Dingo,
how many
dingoes
kilometers?
Are dogs.
Yes.
How many? Not rabbits.
Not rabbits, rodents, four-legged
critters. How many kilometers if it's longer than the Great Wall?
25,000.
Oh, wow, that's a lot. I mean, that's more than Australia side to side.
Oh.
So,
yeah.
I just read that the Great Wall is 13,000, isn't it?
Huh. Well, it could
be 13,000 miles.
This is kilometers.
So that's why
I'm afraid I can't do the conversion.
If it's longer than that, it's more kilometers than miles.
Right. So it says 5,600 kilometers, which is pretty darn long if you start thinking about it.
So I'm going to have to re-Google that thing about the Great Wall of China.
Re-Google?
Yeah. I've got to go re-Google-tate it.
Which two Australian mammals are the only two mammals in the world that lay eggs to birth their young?
The echidna and the platypus.
You both said the answers at the same time.
That's proof that God has a sense of humor in that animal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What Australian state has no passenger trains, only freight? I'm getting a Looney Tunes vibe here.
New South Wales.
Acme.
Western Australia.
Oh, I thought that was a giveaway to say Looney Tunes.
Tasmania?
Tasmania, Tasmania. Going to a little Tasmania myself here. What is Australia's most popular spread?
Vegemite.
Ugh. Gives me nightmares.
Which we all learned about from Men at Work.
That's right.
That's right.
Hey, wait a minute. That's Crocodile Dundee.
Crocodile Dundee.
That's not a knife.
That's a knife.
That's a knife. We're moving into a New Zealand direction.
All right.
What city, the largest on New Zealand's South Island, is
Christchurch?
A college in England's famous Oxford. Christchurch. Oh. Yes. Christchurch.
Nice.
Yep. Easy one to remember.
Representing... You can't buzz in yet, though, Dave. You didn't finish.
Sorry.
Please, your response needs to be in the form of a question. Representing the Southern Cross constellation, how many red stars are on the flag of New Zealand?
Seven?
Five? Six?
Three?
The original one had 13, right?
It's just four.
Oh.
Four is the Southern Cross. Yep.
Four.
Yep. Okay. What New Zealander became the first man to summit Mount Everest in 1953?
Sir Edmund Hillary.
Yes, alongside Tibetan mountaineer Tenzing Norgay. That is correct.
There has to be a question about Anna Paquin in here.
We're coming up on some
the piano. The piano.
North and South Island, the two main islands of New Zealand, are separated by a strait named for what British explorer?
Tasman.
First European to sail through it. No, it was not. Cook. It was James Cook.
It's one of the two.
Captain Cook, a.k.a.
Not Captain Crunch.
Yes, not Captain Hook. Captain James, J.A.S. Cook.
Or Tiberius.
Kirk. Exactly. Founded in 1916, which party that currently has members in Parliament is New Zealand's oldest? Probably could guess this.
The Kiwis?
The Pajama.
No. You're right.
The Whigs.
The Pajama Party.
The Tories.
Oh, no. It just need to be a little more... Think...
Conservatives?
No. Traditionally...
Parliamentary.
Progressive.
Liberal?
Tories.
No. I thought that this is a giveaway. We see it in Britain. We see it in Canada. We see it in a lot of Europe.
The Labour Party.
The Labour Party is what it says.
Well, that makes sense because they would have been a Commonwealth country.
Yeah. The Labour Party.
Yeah.
Absolutely. In 1986, New Zealander A.J. Hackett took a literal leap from Greenhithe Bridge in Auckland and shortly thereafter founded the commercial industry around what thrill-seeking activity?
Bungee jumping.
Yeah, he was the first bungee jumper, 1986.
Fortunately, he wasn't the last. So.
I think he's still alive, actually. What is the fruity name of a flightless bird that lives there?
Kiwi.
The kiwi, yep, that's a good one. On its east, the New Zealand city of Auckland touches the Pacific Ocean. What is the body of water that borders Auckland to the west?
Indian Ocean?
That's not what it says here. This is the body of water, broadly speaking, that's between New Zealand and the continent of Australia.
Tasman Sea.
Tasman Sea. Okay. Yep. Okay. Named after Tasmania or the other way around. What national park in New Zealand's South Island is known for its namesake glacier-covered inlets?
F?
There's an F that often appears when we talk about glaciers.
Like Fjordland or something like
Fjordland.
That?
Fjordland. How the heck?
What? Fjord.
Because I was supposed to go there for my 30th birthday and I got hosed over. So.
Okay.
Oh, so I did my research.
Because of
yes,
COVID?
You did.
No, because my brother decided to get married that summer.
Oh, please, brothers.
Yeah.
Come on. What reptilian suborder of animals often associated with the Australian outback has no species in New Zealand? That's kind of cool.
Would you repeat that question again?
Reptile?
What reptilian suborder of animals often associated with the Australian outback has no species in New Zealand?
Tuataturas? What
crocodiles?
It's crocs.
Oh,
okay. Crocs.
Crikey.
Yes, crikey.
Oh, that's right.
It's the crocodile.
Big suckers. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks for
sending those questions. Full passing marks.
All right.
We know a lot about this stuff. Thanks, Jim. Thanks, Diane. Travel safe.
Yeah, and no more. And tell Diane, tell her ribs to heal up. The sauce will not help.
Yep.
If you're looking for a good movie, even for kids, there's one on Netflix called True Spirit, which is about Jessica Watson. She was a 16-year-old Australian girl with dyslexia, I might add.
Wow.
Circumnavigated the globe solo at age 16.
Wow.
And the movie is about her and her family. It's really good.
Nice.
I couldn't even spell circumnavigate at age 16.
I couldn't. I mean, I can understand her parents wanting to let her do it. The dyslexia would have given me serious pause, though.
Sure. It would have been tough.
But yeah, she managed it. And good for her. Good for say her. Say I.
So we got an email. It doesn't have a question in it. From one of our longtime question senders, Chris Bovitz. He actually always gets to us from Lakeville, Minnesota. Hi. Somehow, this picture ended up in my Facebook feed, and of course, I immediately thought of you and your show. It's the UDM wins their first game of the season with the single guy rushing the court.
Yes.
It was I saw that.
Sports Illustrated.
It got on Sports Illustrated.
Did it really?
Yes.
Oh, dear.
It did. It really, really did.
Now, do we know who that gentleman is?
We don't. I believe
we do. There has been an article about it.
Right, okay, right. But we don't. We do not know.
A
I do
real
not
Titans
know,
but, fan, I take it.
Exactly. So, okay. We've got...
Well, thanks for sending that.
Yeah, no, there. that was funny, Chris. So we really appreciate that. We've been thinking the same thing.
I've got Alex right here. She hasn't kicked me once yet. I've kept my mouth shut. So there we go.
Yeah.
As a former faculty athletic rep, I haven't jumped into the fray on ATP.
So. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Okay. So we have got our list of faculty, or pardon me, faculty. There's a lot of faculty around here. Our list of imponderables from Frank and the Family Burrows. Mm. And it's time, because we didn't get to do one in our last recording, so we'll do maybe a couple right now. This is kind of a fun one.
Uh-oh.
Favorite job you had before the one that you have now? That's kind of interesting, huh? Mm. What's a favorite job you had before the one that today is the last day of it?
Yeah, come on, Alex.
Yeah.
I mean, I put books away at the library. That was my teenager job, and I actually really liked it because I got to do a lot of reading, and I learned a lot just from doing my job. I kind of like that.
I'm torn between two. Once I was a carny, and I also worked retail till 12.
What did you retail for?
$99.95.
Bucko 5. No, I was selling...
just what freedom costs. Bucko 5.
Yeah, it was a gallery, so we were selling prints.
Oh, okay.
So I was in the middle of the mall during the holidays. It was temporary, so I worked for about 2 months. Loved it.
That's kind of
so
nice.
I learned retail, and the other one was being a carny down at the ethnic festivals downtown.
What did you do there?
What, at the carnival?
Did you do rides? Did you do hawking?
No, I did put two darts on. No, you get two darts for a dollar, put one dart on the star, win yourself a t-shirt. And then from there, I progressed to other games.
Like what?
A couple of the other ones, that's all. That were just like, wait a minute, is this legal? Is this ethical?
Where you get big stuffed animals instead of t-shirts.
But I remember there's one guy I went to high school with. He was there on a date. Hey, you're here. Hey, who's your girlfriend? That's not my girlfriend. So you let the little lady walk without a prize? Come on. I think I fleeced him for like $25 for a t-shirt.
Cool.
And the t-shirt was wafer thin. I was like, oh my, I felt
what was
so
on good. It?
I think some like UB40 or something like that. Some bad band shirts. I'm like, oh my God.
Oh, that is
they're
awesome.
So terrible.
Did you also give away the small mirrors that had band logos?
Oh, yeah.
On
and
the front?
There was also another one. They were also giving away goldfish.
Oh
I remember those.
Terrible.
Yeah. Not the crackers.
Right? No, goldfish. Not the cracker. But I just remember.
But a little plastic bag.
I just remember I had the farmer's tan of a lifetime.
I bet you did. I bet you did.
Working out there. Oh my God. But it was fun.
Did you learn any new words?
Oh, yeah.
You cracked Beth up pretty hardcore with, well, I started here, and then I upgraded.
Because you get better at games, you move up the
way. That's right.
Do you upgrade to ones where it's difficult, more difficult to scam the customer?
No. They're actually better paying.
Oh, okay.
But you got to have proven yourself.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I worked at a library, too, when I was in college.
You're wearing the bibliophile t-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Right,
yeah, that's right. True, yeah. It's the fear of running out of, which will never happen to me.
Never happens.
Lord knows I helped you move enough books over the summer.
Well, mm-hmm, I don't read those. Those are, that's right. They're just for show.
Those are for show. Yeah, they're empty. Yeah, they're empty.
That was pretty fun. But working at Dairy Queen was pretty fun, too.
That does sound fun.
I mixed a ton of blizzards and have never eaten one, ever.
Wow.
I know, isn't that weird?
How did you resist?
Easy. You get overwhelmed by, it's like
the
me
burgers
Chinese
and
food.
Fries were more of a temptation than the
so it was
things.
A brazier, is what you're telling
yes.
me.
Yes.
Yes, it was a brazier.
No, but it's
because
like,
I worked in the kitchen and back.
But isn't it like one of those things if you work in a restaurant for so long, you just kind of like look at the food and go, nah.
Yeah, probably.
No. I mean, I remember there's the longest time I did not touch almond boneless chicken to save my life.
But it came back into your life over time.
Yeah, like a zit.
Alex, what about, how would you answer the question?
Oh, years ago I worked for a home health care and hospice organization that also did flu shots.
Oh.
So you may have seen us do flu the shoe at the zoo back in the day trying to get immunizations.
Oh,
yeah. And so that was something that came up out of our organization.
Were people resistant to the notion of getting immunizations back then?
Well, who wants to go to a zoo and get stabbed in the arm? I mean, not fun.
Well, the all other duties as assigned, we had a plush mascot nurse costume.
Oh my!
That looked like Big Boy in a blue dress and a white lab coat with a syringe, a foam syringe that was this big.
So that was you?
Cool.
Was that you?
So I named her Nurse Betty. And so I was Nurse Betty for several years while I worked there.
That's so cool.
And then the children were like uber scared of
because
it was like, you know, there was a slider on the syringe.
Well, I mean,
you know, but the other kids reacted to this costume just like it was any plush character, and you know, the little children, and they would just go,
they give you a big hug,
and then I like, you know, made sure I hid the syringe so I didn't scare them.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, when you think about the size of that syringe, it's probably like more than triple their body mass. Yeah, I'd be afraid too. Exactly.
Well, they just hate shots, period.
True. Yeah, that's for sure.
But I had a similar experience, Alex. I don't know if you're finished. I can let you go. But I was the WPCX Bear back when I was in
Mascotters Unite.
DJ,
WPCX.
Powerful country.
Wait a minute. You're what? Why am I picturing Herb Tarlick dressed up as the WKRP Carp?
Oh,
trying to use a men's bathroom. You know, like, oh my God.
I remember
God.
That episode.
The WPIG Pig.
Funny.
Somehow everybody's got like a dress up in a costume kind of story. I think that's cool. I think that's very cool.
I don't think I had one.
Did you ever notice Tommy Titan has a shield but no sword?
I did, because he's always, you know, defending the university. He doesn't really attack people. Let's be serious.
All right.
We are 1 in 29. It's not. There's no attacking going on.
Defending can require a sword, too.
Yeah. Yes. Should we get him a spear instead?
We were so close. If it wasn't for IUPUI, we
could have. Oh, no comment.
If he were a Greek
hoplite,
I think he'd have to have both.
Oh, my gosh.
But my favorite was, I think, it's a tie between being a reporter and teaching karate.
Okay.
And karate.
You didn't cross the
fun.
Two up, did you?
What's that?
You never crossed the two up, I hope.
I didn't.
Okay.
There were times I wished I could with some of the people I covered, but no. As a reporter, you try to just not use your
not
karate
make the
moves
news.
On them.
You know,
yeah.
Report the news.
But both of those were fun. I think I learned more as a reporter just interviewing people about all kinds of different topics, but. Yeah, I interviewed Bernie Sanders one time. That was pretty cool.
Oh, Bernie. Okay, I'm sorry.
New York
I thought you were talking Barry Sanders. My bad. Okay.
No, but Barry Sanders would have been a great choice. And then,
all right.
A lot
of
fun times.
Nice.
Well, at least none of us were like the San Diego Chicken. So,
I was about to say, like, I was just doing a quick scan of the list of possible future imponderables, and Alex, at our last set of shows that we recorded, we had some questions sent by my dear wife all about the San Diego Chicken. And so we had a couple of different mascot style, and carnival related, paraphernalia. So that's pretty interesting.
Carnivals. Oh.
Okay, let's go a little, just a slightly more sprightly,
okay,
and go with favorite side dish. Let's interpret that any way we see fit.
Side dish.
Favorite side dish.
Some people would say mashed potatoes side dish, but for me, that's the main course.
Seriously.
So I don't know.
Garlic mash or?
Garlic mash, yeah.
Or if you go to Kanju, they got the spinach mash.
That's right. Mm. It's very good. Uh-huh. Very good at Kanju. Favorite side dish, everybody?
I'd go with the garlic sauce in the Mediterranean restaurant.
Oh, come on.
Oh,
with the bread.
Oh, yeah. The vampire repellent. I love that stuff.
Absolutely.
Oh my God, that stuff is wonderful.
Absolutely. No, I just had some hummus the other day, Alex, so I know exactly what you're thinking. I went into a Zoom meeting. I can't help myself. I apologize. I'm really sorry about my breath. You know, I just had a bunch of hummus on Zoom. So, they didn't care so much.
I think I'm a mac and cheese guy.
Mm. Yeah.
Mac and cheese.
Can't go wrong.
Can't go wrong.
If it's made right.
French fries.
Mm.
French fries.
I mean, see, seriously.
I'm main course, Beth.
Yeah,
I can make them a main course. Because I remember after I had my surgery and my sister was visiting and like it was the first trip to McDonald's and she said something about, well, if you can't finish your, because I'd had abdominal surgery. She's like, well, if you can't finish your fries, I'm like,
I will.
No, there will be no sharing. there's no possible world in which I don't finish McDonald's French fries.
Oh my gosh. Too large.
See, I'm so biased against fries because I remember my first trip to China, I think we were in Shanghai. They offered us a 7-course meal. And one of the 7 courses was French fries. I'm like, what is this?
Sounds perfectly acceptable to me. What's the problem?
Yeah, but you're in Shanghai.
For 5, Dave, and they had to like, you know, expand a
but,
little bit.
Yeah, I'm thinking Shanghai. Give me some local.
Was the fortune cookie the last course?
There was no fortune cookie. It was like it was so Americanized. We're like, what are you trying to do here? I mean, come on.
Gosh,
French fries in Shanghai, of all places. Oh.
I don't know. I don't quite know what my response would be. I mean, there's many, many things on the list. Many of them potato based.
Okay. Potatoes have got to be like the number one. Yeah, I mean,
mashed potatoes, hash browns,
potatoes,
poutine tots, pretty much for every single meal. I'm just being honest.
Oh, well, mercury bar, right?
Mercury bar.
That's where, yeah, I think that was the first time I ever had poutine because you had the poutine tots.
We told you
to
get them, remember?
Very good. Snacked.
We were outside.
Some squeaky cheese. It's really good. But I mean, things that I have like more often, yeah, that's a little bit harder. We're in the zone with essentially almost 3 teenagers. Actually, whatever. The older one is not a teenager anymore, but turned 20 this last year. But we have to have like just giant chunks of things that grow on the earth just at the table. Like we're getting to the point where it's the future and the plants are all just growing at the table and you just like rip it off and start eating it. We've got, you know, apples, bananas, oranges. They're in love with grapes right now. We got all these blackberries from Costco. And all we do for dinner is put them on the table, and then everybody just, like, takes, you know?
Westbourne has wonderful grapes.
Very good grapes.
They're, like, $6 a pound.
Very good grapes. Yes, absolutely.
I better have somebody peeling them for me at that price. Good. Oh, my God.
So I'm not exactly sure, like, how I would answer the question. I'm going to go potato-based and then, yeah, just
what?
General.
So not the corn, not the green beans. I'm just thinking KFC. What else do they have in the drive-thru?
Since I was little, though, my mom would say, and to this day, last night, I had it. I am a big fan of broccoli. If broccoli is made right, it's like roasted. Oh. It gets a little crust on it, maybe some Parmesan. That's a solid side dish right now.
Your family's been to Eddie's Diner before, right?
Yeah, I want to say so.
Yeah, the broccoli there, you get...
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not just little broccoli florets. You get the whole head of broccoli.
Right. You get like
and then the garlic butter on top.
The crown.
The kick is up and it's good.
Yeah, exactly.
Asparagus is good with Parmesan cheese.
There you go.
Saute it in butter and grate a little parm on it.
Jeez.
Yummy.
As we always do, folks. We're finishing food. The show.
Food. It's
talking
always
about food. I've heard Dave's stomach once and mine 3 times. It's hard. What can I say?
But mine has been silenced by donuts.
Mine's been primed by donuts. That's all.
Also true. Also true. Well,
are there any left over?
I just want to say, while we still have a couple seconds of airtime here, Alex, we're going to miss you very, very dearly. We wish you the absolute best and hope that you're no stranger.
Thank you.
Just stay strange.
Yeah.
But not a problem. Keep coming back to Ask the Professor.
Keep coming back.
Yeah. And
ATP.
In a furry costume. Oh. No
so
syringe.
The time has come to say goodbye, Beth.
Goodbye.
Dave.
See ya.
Alex.
Bye.
And Jason.
Bye-bye.
Now, these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.